Welcome back to the spectacular show, Warp Zone.
Warp Zone.
We're back here today for day two of three of covering films by Japanese director Hayao Miyazaki and his company, Studio Ghibli. Yesterday we covered Kiki's Delivery Service, so please go back and check that one out. And tomorrow we'll have a final Warp Zone episode for you with another Miyazaki film. But for today, joining me again for the second day in a row, spectacular show regular, New York City actor, director, and casting director, Samantha Jane Tilton.
Bring it in, bring it in. Ayo.
Sammy Jane, thanks for hanging with us again.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, today is the day, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to get.
Come on, tell us.
Spirited Away.
Spirited Away.
Now, if you're going to cover Miyazaki films, you don't have to include this one, but this is his most successful and revered film. So I think it's also the first one I ever saw.
It's the first one you saw?
Yes, this is the first one of his movies I saw. So I figured it was a good starting point. And just because of its, at least in America, because of its commercial success and
notoriety, yeah.
Notoriety, like you said, I think that it's probably a good one to discuss.
Why rob yourselves? You know?
Exactly.
Dive in.
That's the way I feel about it. Okay, just to be clear, anybody that's listening to this, we are going to be talking extensively about the plot, about the whole movie. If you are worried about spoilers, maybe go watch the movie first, then come back and listen. Otherwise, you're going to know almost everything. So, now that that's clear, let's jump in. All right, so just as an overview, the plot for this movie, which was released in 2001, it is by Japanese director Hayao Miyazaki and his company Studio Ghibli. The plot of the film is 10-year-old Chihiro and her parents stumble upon a seemingly abandoned amusement park. After her mom and dad are turned into giant pigs, Chihiro meets the mysterious Haku, who explains that the park is a resort for supernatural beings who need a break from their time spent in the earthly realm, and that she must work there to free herself and her parents. I feel like that's a pretty good explanation.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, the only thing they leave out is that at the beginning of the film, Chihiro and her parents are on the way in the car to their new house.
Yes.
Because they're moving.
Yep. That would be what a new house would mean to go to.
Yes. Moving. Exactly.
Yes. And she's 10 years old, which I don't know if I knew her age until you just said it.
I didn't know either. I was kind of putting her at 11. I was guessing she'd be around 11.
That's funny. Yeah, I was thinking like 12. And then, so that's it's a theme for his directorial movies.
I mean, so far.
Thus far. Yes. I only have the two to go off of, but two young gals. I mean, yeah.
Two young ladies coming of age, as they say.
Yes.
So right off the bat, just your initial impressions of the movie.
It's so different from an American animated movie.
Yes.
To me, I find it very, very different. Very good, but really interesting. The differences are so noticeable for me.
Like, what differences do you mean?
The characters that they use, whether it be villain, hero, are very different from what ours would be. They have a lot of quirks. They're very unique, interesting characters, warts and all, I would say.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Right? And whereas our villains, maybe in one of the Disney movies or something, they are the villain. It's very clear cut. They're evil.
Yes.
And these, they have like all these, like this bubbly evilness to them. All these weird personality things about their life and stuff, which I find really interesting.
Yes. And I like in this movie that many of the characters, I don't know, one of the things I like about it is that there's kind of stuff that just exists that it's not really explained at all. It just is.
I know we couldn't talk about it, but there's some stuff that I was like, we never really got to the bottom of that.
Right. Like, for instance, in Aladdin, Walt Disney's Aladdin, right?
Yeah.
You Which, side story, side note, I should say, this film was released by Walt Disney in America. Basically, I guess the Pixar team, when they used to get stuck on story and they couldn't figure out what to do next, they would watch this guy's movies.
Really?
And I guess eventually they saw they were watching this one, and somehow through somebody, it was like, do you want to try to release this in America? You want to try to bring it here?
Huh.
And so they did.
Wow.
But, for instance, in Aladdin, your villain is Jafar, and Jafar yes. has a talking pet parrot.
Yes.
Pretty simple to understand. It's a guy with a parrot.
Bad motives.
Sure.
We know what's happening.
Both evil jerks. Pretty simplistic.
Yes.
In this movie...
I'm like waiting for you to go down the list. Yeah.
Yeah, like just... I mean, there's not really a villain, technically. Yubaba kind of is.
Kind of is.
She's the... I mean, we'll get into the story, but yeah. like, she's kind of the head of the bathhouse where yes. Chihiro ends up.
Yeah.
And she technically kind of is using people, right?
Yeah, well, she had put a spell on Haku
yeah.
to control him. So she is the evil character, I would say, one of.
But she's evil in a way where, like, she's not trying to dominate the Earth. She's not trying to become all powerful.
No, she's money hungry.
She's money hungry, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
You know, she does bend people to her will, but she's not, you know, killing people, not yeah. that we see. She's not... You
That's
know,
true.
Bloodthirsty.
True. But I guess she's very selfish.
She is selfish.
That's what it is. She's very, she wants it her way.
Yes.
So even if that meant that Chihiro, when she goes to face No Face, like she's like, ah, well, if she dies, you know, she kind of.
Oh, yeah. She's like, ah, go ahead, get in there.
Yeah.
Close
yeah,
the door.
Exactly. So if that means her bathhouse is getting back in order, she's okay with the little girl dying.
Like any good bitch boss.
Yes.
Or dick boss, whichever
exactly.
one.
They know how to make money, and it's by people being expendable. And bottom line.
And she also has four sidekicks in the film.
Yes.
One of which is a crow-looking creature that looks exactly like her.
Yes.
It has her face.
It does have her face.
And it just, it's never even named, I don't think. It just kind of attacks out of
yeah.
nowhere sometimes. And then also, she has three rolling heads.
Bobbling heads. Yeah, they just pop it up and down on the floor.
Which, if I'm not mistaken...
They're like rolling head. They're like decapitated heads, but just cartoon-like.
And I think these are... I don't know if they're related to this, but in Japan, and especially in Japanese, I think potentially in Japanese tattoo culture, namakubi are some traditional Japanese tattoos, which are basically severed heads. Oftentimes having to do with, like, samurai, the severed huh. head of a samurai, or, you know, like
warrior.
After a warrior is, or I don't know, necessarily know if it's a samurai or a warrior or whoever, but
yeah.
after they're, you know, they're given an honorable death, they can commit seppuku, which is a horrific death where you, like, jab yourself in the stomach,
oh.
cut your stomach open, pull your insides
yes.
out.
Yes, 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 yes.
There's also, like, a quote-unquote, like, a second, I'm butchering this explanation, but this is a loose explanation. There's also, like, a second who's, like, there to, like, chop your head off.
That's right.
To preserve
I have seen this in movies. Yes.
To preserve your honor or whatever it might
huh.
be. I don't know if these heads that are her sidekicks
huh.
are related to this gruesome thing, but they're just these three identical rolling mustachioed
yes.
heads.
Mustachioed.
That are just like, blub, 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 blub. They don't even talk.
They literally go, blub, blub, blub.
Yeah, they just make this noise.
Yeah. There's so many places to go. Where do you want to start? Because I have so much to say about this film.
Well, one thing I wanted to say just in the beginning, like we said, the movie opens up with Chihiro and her parents in the car. They're moving to their new place. And they kind of are, they're on the road and they look up kind of on an embankment. And they're like, oh, that must be our house right
yeah.
up there. And the dad goes down like a dirt road for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, did we take a wrong turn? He's like, we'll get there. And he's flying.
He's like, I have four-wheel drive.
Exactly. I have four-wheel drive. He's gunning it down a dirt road.
His face looks like he's like, I'm going to kill it. Like, he just looks intense, man.
Right. Typical stupid dad. I don't need directions. You could walk to the house from where they are. But instead, he's going to do 80 through the woods in an Audi.
In an Audi. Do Audis have four-wheel drive? I'm like picturing, I'm like, do they? I don't even know.
They might.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's the same principle of like, four-wheel drive is not anti-gravity.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
always gets me.
And you have your kid and your wife in the car.
Right.
going to a new home. Let's just kill ourselves.
She's not even buckled in. You know she's not buckled in.
Yeah. She just got up from the back seat. She's like, look at this. Look at my flowers. So she's not buckled in.
Not buckled in. He's flying down the road.
That's how we begin.
There's a like a statue.
Yes.
In the middle of the path, which they have to jack the brakes to stop.
And... It looks like a Japanese version of a big lawn gnome.
Kind of. Because
it's like this big, it's short, but stocky.
Short, stocky statue.
Yeah.
And he's got a big smiling face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And
it's like a little gnome.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And I believe this is related to, in general, in Shinto religion in Japan, the essence of like kami. Kami are like spirits.
Mm.
And I'm not very well versed in it, but basically it is believed by some people that kami could live anywhere. They could live in the trees. They could live in the grass.
That's like spirits that have passed? That's spirits that...
I don't know the in-depth component of it, but...
Okay, but it's spirits.
Basically, kami are spirits.
Oh. So, and I totally had forgotten this until you mentioned it when we were watching. You took Japanese in college?
I did. I had some Japanese friends in college.
Yes.
And I was interested to take it, so I took Japanese 1 and 2.
I love that. So you know a little bit.
A tiny bit. I have not kept up with it, so I've lost some. Yeah.
But that's such an interesting language to study. So
it was very cool.
Side note, you know? That's really cool.
Yeah. So they park the car because they can't drive, and they see this little tunnel, and they go in, and it's like, oh, an abandoned amusement park.
Yeah.
Which was, I guess, common in Japan because they had a big boom in the economy, and then during the recession, a lot of these closed.
You know, so Chihiro. Oh, and that's, and like Hiro, and she's the hero. I just like that. So kids' instincts are pretty awesome because she is scared to walk through this entranceway or what is it? It's a walkthrough, you know, like a walkway.
Like a tunnel.
Yeah, like a little tunnel.
You can't see where it ends.
And she is like grabbing her mom's arm like, I don't want to go. She runs back to the car. She's like, well, I'm not going. No, this is a bad idea. And her parents are like, oh, come on. And it was a bad idea.
And they're just like, yeah, go sit in the car then.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's scary too. So she goes.
Right.
So kids' instincts, right on.
Yep, she followed her gut, and when they get in there, it basically is an abandoned amusement park, but the dad smells some food, so they run up and they see this giant buffet. And they just start, hello, is anyone here? Is anyone here? Oh, well, we'll pay them when they get here.
Yeah.
And they just start loading up plates, which to me, you know, I would have reacted the way Chihiro reacted, which was like, we're going to get in trouble. Stop this. There's no sign. There's no price. Nothing.
But
you don't know what this food is.
But it's abandoned. I know it's abandoned, but it smells really good. It's cooking in real time. I mean, even when they're eating, there's a shot of, and we're talking animated, there's like pork fried rice in the back. And I'm like,
yeah.
So like, I can't say if I was there, I would not be like, well, pay them later. Like, I want the rice. So, like, I don't know. I kind of get it.
Well, it's funny because they just start gulping it down hard.
Hard. Like, not like, oh, a big meal. Like, plate after plate. And then they're just taking out of the big, like, baskets of food that are meant to be served, like, you know, with little pieces given to each person. They just start eating out of those big baskets.
Yeah.
So, they were being piggish, one might say.
They were. And so, while they're being piggish, Chihiro runs off and she kind of decides she's going to explore for herself. And she follows a street. It's like an abandoned street because it's full of all these abandoned shops and stuff. And she sees this bathhouse. And this is the first shot you get of the bathhouse. And I love this part because as they show some close-ups of the bathhouse, there's one shot of the bathhouse windows. And the bathhouse windows kind of tremor. They kind of like jitter in a way. And it's almost like they're breathing or trembling, like the house is alive.
Huh.
And I just love that. I think that's so cool. It's like, well, there's no one in there. There's nothing there.
Right.
Why is this little...
Why is this trembling?
Why are the window panes kind of just so slightly moving?
That's fascinating. And wow, which makes so much sense when you get further into the story.
Right.
I loved when she is walking across like that red bridge.
Yes.
the animation of that was so gorgeous.
Yes.
And her little yellow sneakers.
Yes.
On the red bridge, like just peering over. Just beautiful.
With the Velcro. Yeah, I love that she had the Velcro sneakers.
Ah, I love that.
And so she runs into Haku. She doesn't know who he is. This kid all of a sudden appears. He's like, you got to get out of here. It's almost nightfall. Run. Get off the bridge.
Go to your parents. Does he say go to your parents? I think he says.
I forget what he says exactly, but he tells her to get out of here. I'll hold them off, he says. And then he turns around and he blows these like petals out of his fingers or something.
Yep.
And which I think later, you know, you're like, oh, maybe they're scales.
Yeah.
But she runs and gets back to her parents. And as she's doing this, the sun is setting and now it's getting dark and all the lamps along the street light up.
Yep.
All these faceless kind of spirits are kind of creeping into view. And she runs up and sees where her parents were. And now
they're still there.
The two seats are still occupied. But when they turn around, they're both full-blown pigs now.
Full pigs. Like big adult fatty pigs.
Yes. And still dressed in their clothes, but huge.
She's
terrified. I mean, that's a terrifying...
Oh, my God.
...image. I remember when I was a kid in, like, Pinocchio, they took the young boys to... I forget the name of the island or something, but they all took them out for a good time. They're shooting pool and drinking beer, and they're acting like jackasses. And then slowly they all start turning into jackasses. They all start turning into donkeys and growing ears. And it was a terrifying – as a kid, I was terrified of it. And this is a little bit reversed because it's the adults, but I just seeing this, it's scary. That's a terrifying thing that you go back – you don't know where you are. There's spirits everywhere, and you see your parents, and now they're animals.
And they're animals.
They're not responding to you.
And she's all alone.
She's all alone by herself.
She's all alone. She doesn't even know what to do. Is that what she – there's a point where she's like, it's all a dream. It's a dream.
Oh, and she's saying, disappear, disappear.
Yep. She's like, yep. She's like, go away, go away. Like, because she's seeing all these things, and she's like, I'm dreaming. It's a dream. It's a dream. It's a dream. It's not true. It's not true. Wake up. Get up. Get up. Get up. I know that feeling. Like, that is, like, the worst feeling. And she's all alone in this strange place.
And she's saying to herself, disappear. Like, make it go away. Disappear, disappear. And then she looks, and she's disappearing.
Yep.
So Haku shows up and saves her. He gives her a little food that...
He said you have to eat something from this world.
To stay here.
Yep, in order so you don't disappear.
And he helps her. And she eats the food, and it works. And then he said, all right, I'll take you into this place, but you have to hold your breath across the bridge or the spell will be broken and everyone will see you. And of course she just makes it almost all the way and gets scared by a frog that jumps up. And of course at this point she has witnessed all of these spirits of all different types. There are, you know, grown, they're kind of, I don't know how to explain it. There's a little frog guy in a kimono, but there are also kind of people that look like frogs.
Yeah.
They've got like a froggish appearance. There are, you know, all different sizes and shapes of different spirits going to and from, like, across the bridge.
Yeah.
And a frog jumps up and starts talking to Haku, and she gets scared and breaks the spell, and he freezes the frog and
human.
He dashes away, kind of gets her into the bathhouse, and they're all like, a human, and you can smell her. It stinks. You can smell her. And he kind of hides her, and he basically says, you've got to go down to the boiler room. Go down to see Kamaji, and you've got to ask him for a job.
Yeah.
No matter what, I'll hold him off. And he goes back into the bathhouse to hold him off while she goes down there to do it. And that entire sequence of her going down the back stairs, which are humongously tall.
Oh, my God. They're like never-ending. Oh, my God.
No railing.
None. Oh, those are terrifying stairs.
And she's like crawling down them until one of the stairs breaks underneath her. And she has to run.
She screams bloody murder.
Sprinting down the stairs.
Yep. Poor girl. Poor thing.
And then, of course, she gets there. And Kamaji is like this awesome character who's like an old man with six giant, basically, spider arms.
Yeah.
Kind of Mr. Fantastic style where they can grow out. He works in this boiler room and he's breaking up. He's the one that keeps the bath water warm and like sets up the baths for everybody in the bathhouse. So whatever they order, the tags come down. He crushes up the ingredients and mixes it together and sends it on its way.
And they're all in like the ingredients, like you see, are in high. So if you picture a bookshelf a bookcase that goes all the way to the ceiling, and it's got drawers. It goes all the way up, and he reaches those long arms all the way to get the different ingredients while still sitting in the same spot, like pedaling away to keep the water warm and stuff.
Yes.
Which is so cool.
So cool. And she walks in and asks him for a job, and he's like, I don't need anybody, you know.
Yeah.
And at this point, too, one of the most famous characters from Spirited Away, and you see them often if you look up the film or whatever, and I'm going to say these guys wrong, but the Susuwatari, the soot sprites.
They're the soot, okay.
Yes. And they're just, they look like these little black fuzzballs with eyes and these little stick arms and legs.
They're the cutest.
They're so cute, and they just all have the same voice. Yeah, just... And these guys are the ones that are feeding the coal into the furnace. They're just taking turns, bringing coal up, throwing it in, running back and getting more. Just over and over and over.
See, and then I didn't know if I liked Kamaji at first because he put the spell on them, on the yes. soot, to make them productive.
Right.
To be, so they're moving coal instead of just being, I guess, like just laying there dead soot without spirit. And so instead, they're actually alive and helping make this bathhouse work. And so one of them kind of like gets really weak. He's like, and like the coal is like crushing him. And so Chihiro picks up the coal to help him. And then that the little soot guy like runs away. Like, and so then she's like, what do I do with it? And she's like, they're like, move along. And
I like what he says. He says, human, finish what you started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then she does, and she throws it into the furnace. And then he's like, stop, or they're going to – you got to stop because I put a spell on them, and then they're going to stop working.
Yes, and basically they all, like, whatever. I don't know what they do if they go on strike or whatever. They all start copying the first soot that, like, just collapsed. And he's like, oh, you ruined it, you know.
Yeah, and but then Lynn comes in, right? That's yes. about when Lynn comes in. Lynn's awesome. I need to look up whose voice that was. I forgot.
Lynn is voiced. There are some famous American actors in this film. Lynn is voiced by Susan Egan.
And that name sounds familiar.
She was in Hercules. She was in several of Miyazaki's films, but she's a Broadway actress.
Okay.
She was also in Porco Rossi, which is another Miyazaki film.
Oh, wow.
Hercules.
Awesome. She has a great voice.
She does have a great voice.
I love their dynamic.
Yes. She is. It's funny because, again, in this film, here's Chihiro, who's this little girl, and Lynn's a full-grown woman.
Yeah.
She's probably, I mean, I don't know how old she is. I'm guessing in her early 20s.
Oh, I would say at least mid-20s. I love how we're trying to guess the ages of animated characters.
Exactly.
But I would say at least 25.
Yeah, because you're trying to peg a character. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's a woman. You can tell she's been around the block. She's worked here for a while.
She's been around the block.
And I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it
saucy
that way.
Saucy little minx, that yeah. Lynn.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Lynn comes in, and this is one of the cool, the very cute parts of the movie. She comes in with this wicker basket, and it's full of something, and Kamaji starts banging on this metal wheel that he has to spin, and he tells the... She's got food for Kamaji in this wicker basket, and he says, all right, time to eat. And all the soot just run over to Lynn, and she starts throwing, like, as if it's chicken feed, she starts throwing these little multicolored kind of stars.
It looks like the Lucky Charms stars.
Yes.
But like, brighter and magical.
Yes. And I looked up what they were because I wanted to see what these things were eating. I was very interested. These are a candy. They're a Japanese sugar candy. They look very similar to rock candy. I don't know if that's true, but they're called konpeito. They come in a variety of colors and flavors, and it's Japanese sugar candy, basically.
Oh, wow.
And they're all just, they're all just running
and
around.
They're like holding them like right next to their face or like in front of their eyes. Like they're just holding them, and they just look so cute. These cute little fluffy little black little cutie pies with these little starry shapes. They're so cute.
It was the cutest little feeding time I've ever seen.
They're so cute. You and I both were like, oh!
Yeah. And so then Lynn sees Chihiro and flips out. Oh, you got a human. She stinks. Get her out of here. You know, it's going to be a problem. And Kamaji says, oh, this is my granddaughter.
Dude, he went out on a limb for her.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat.
And he said, she needs a job, but I don't need a help, so take her to Yubaba. She's like, oh, I'm not taking her there. And he says, do you want a roasted newt? And he's got like this charcoal newt that he cooked, like a little lizard.
Lizard.
And she reluctantly is like, ah, like she can't turn it down.
She can't turn it down.
And she takes it, and then she takes her up and takes her to introduce her to
Yubaba.
She
also said she can do it. He says something like, whatever he said, but he believed in her.
Yes.
And he's
yes.
like, she can do it.
Yes. So then Lynn, there's a sequence here where you kind of get to see the bathhouse for the first time and yeah. how many layers there are and how many people, or I should say spirits, are in yeah. there. You get to see the radish spirit for the first time.
Oh my God, that was a great scene where they're in the elevator.
Yeah.
So and if you've ever been in an elevator with somebody that's a lot bigger than you and it's a very small elevator and they're sweating and shirtless.
Yeah, basically imagine someone wearing a napkin.
Yeah.
He's effectively, the radish spirit is a giant, he looks like an elephant slash walrus, and he's a big chubby spirit
yep.
with a big red round cap and just like a loincloth on.
Yeah. And like,
and Chihiro has to cram into the elevator next to him.
She's like right under his armpit, like his nipple is like right above her head.
Yeah.
Just like an inch over. So her eyes just keep like meeting his like nipple.
It's like, so uncomfortable.
And Lynn said, whatever you don't look at him.
Yes.
And so, but how could you not look at him? She's right by his armpit and his nipple. So you catch her and she's just like looking up, and then the radish kind of looks down with one eye, looks down, and she's like, broop! And she just diverts her eyes immediately.
Right back forward. Yes. And at this point, you get, he kind of takes her up to the floor she needs to go to.
Yeah.
And when she walks in, it's a very Yubaba's, I don't want to say office, because it's like 15 doors, double doors in a row open up magically.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like a hallway of doors. But everything is so elaborate and ornate. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yep.
It's an exquisite place.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost overwhelming with how much luxury is there.
Yep.
And you hear a voice, come here, come on in, or whatever.
Yeah.
But Chihiro's nervous, and she said, I said, and it cuts to just like a humongous nose and a big mouth. And she said, I said, come here. And you see this bejeweled hand
yep.
with like giant red nails, like claws, just kind of wave the fingers towards herself. And then Chihiro, it's like she's being pulled by like a speedboat by the front of her t-shirt.
Yep.
And she just goes flying down the hallway. And she even like takes a corner. And when she finally gets to the office, she goes ass over tea kettle. Just and she, that's one thing that recurs several times in this film, is she falls face first.
So many times.
And rolls like eight times in this movie.
And she's always just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then she's good. She's good to go.
Yes. And it's at this moment that we finally meet Yubaba, who is, like we were saying earlier, the boss of the whole thing.
Yes.
First, you see the three heads rolling around.
Yeah.
They kind of bumble up. Blah, 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 blah. And Chihiro's like, Jesus, you know, like, what the hell is this?
Bouncing, and they're green, so they look like zombie heads. Like, they're not, so they're not just heads, they're like dead heads. Like, they look like dead heads.
Yes. And they look like deadheads, and Yubaba is this giant. She's about the same height as Chihiro.
Yeah.
Maybe a little taller.
Yeah.
But she's wide. And I don't mean, like, overweight. She's just this – she's drawn in such a different manner.
Dimension.
Chihiro is a little teeny tiny skinny girl, 10 years old. Yubaba is this gigantic – her head is – about five times as wide as Chihiro.
Like, I was going to say her nose. Were you going to say her nose?
Super exaggerated features. Her nose is so huge, there's like, it looks like Thanos' chin with the lines in it.
Yes. Yes, like her nose, if you, and Chihiro has like a, like this tiny little nose, little button nose. If you were, like, Yubaba's nose is like the size of Chihiro's head. Like,
yes.
In length.
Humongous.
It's humongous.
And Chihiro shows up and Yubaba is smoking a long, fancy cigarette.
Yes.
Or she pulls one out. And I love that what they do, that thing where she's smoking a cigarette on the end of like a filter, like
yes.
a plastic filter
yep.
or whatever. And when she puts it in her teeth, you hear it clack, clack. It's a smallest little noise, but I love it.
You know what's funny is that I was noticing, because earlier when Jahir was walking down that intensely steep stairwell, the cook also, you just see him bust out a cigarette and smoke by the window.
Yeah.
And she's looking up at him. You know, this is the second time a character busts out a cigarette in like an animated children's movie.
Yes. Well, I was going to say too, that's one thing that recurs throughout the film is that people smoke a lot in this movie.
Yes.
Or you see that they have.
Yes.
When you first see Kamaji in the boiler room,
yes.
He has an ashtray full of cigarette butts at his little station there. And yes, so she's smoking this huge long cigarette, and you immediately learn that she's magical, because obviously she pulled her down the hallway, but you don't necessarily know that was her.
Right.
But then she snaps her fingers, and her fingertip lights up with fire.
Yep.
And she lights the cigarette that way. And she tells her, well, your parents were greedy pigs, and they got what they deserved.
Yep.
And now you deserve it too, or something. But again, heeding Haku's words,
you have to get a job.
You have to get a job. Yep. So please give me a job. And she says, why should I give you a job? You're pathetic. And she cuts her down.
And I – go ahead.
Oh, you go.
I love – Jahira's like, this is one of the things I loved about her. She would not take no for an answer. And just the way that she said it, no, I need a job now. No. And she's like, I'm not giving you a job. She's like, I need a job now. You're going to give me a job because I have to get a job. I need a job. I want a job. And it's like the same, just like this relentless kid that's like, she's so determined.
Yes.
And it's like, it's at this one pitch, but it's so intense and truthful.
It's this kind of crazed, frantic.
Yes. And
desperate.
She will not back down.
Right.
There's other times where I wrote it down that she did it in the film. It's so, when she's just like, no, I will not back down. She's so strong headed.
Yes. And it's shows how brave she is, because yes. Yubaba is a terrifying looking character.
Oh my God.
When I was a little kid, they had a TV show called The Real Ghostbusters, which was a cartoon based on the Ghostbusters movie.
Yes.
And they had a boogeyman character. If you're sitting at home and bored, go ahead and Google The Real Ghostbusters Boogeyman, and then open a new tab and Google Yubaba Spirited Away. And look at the dimensions of how giant the heads are and how similarly they look on both of these characters. Both giant faces, both creepy giant smiles.
Yeah.
Scary.
And yep.
One thing about Yubaba that I think makes her even more kind of terrifying is she's so much to take in. Her animation, there are so many bumps and crevices in her
yes.
face. She's wearing so much jewelry. She's dressed so ornately. There's shadow everywhere, all the way around her.
Yep.
And a million colors.
She's got this, like, intensely purple eyeshadow.
Yes.
She's got, yeah, she's bejeweled like crazy. I said this to you, like, the first time. Yeah, she's got humongous mole right in between her eyebrows. She looks, and I've said this to you, but if you have seen Friends, Joey's agent, Estelle, she looked just like Estelle, but animated and like even more unattractive. And her voice is like it's like that too. It's rough and tough.
Yes.
So she's just like, but if you could imagine Estelle, she's always smoking a cigarette. She's Joey. And this is, that's.
But imagine if Estelle was magic.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Super greedy,
yes.
And wore giant rubies on her fingers.
And Estelle wasn't unattractive. She was just a very character oriented person. But this, she is. Yubaba's unattractive.
Yes, very.
She's scarily unattractive.
And so there's a point where Jahira won't let it go. And so Yubaba, the animation in this one part is awesome. She comes flying out of her seat, flying through the air, and lands right in front of her.
Yes.
Why should I give you a job? And she's right. Her face is like against her face.
So intimidating.
And then she starts creeping around her. And I thought her fingers, she creeps around the back of her, and she's like, maybe I'll give you the worst job of all. That'll do it. And she's creeping her fingers up Jahiro's arm to her neck. And it looks like,
oh my God, yes.
It looks like a crab leg or a spider leg or something. And then you hear this big crash and you see like a giant foot come through a side door.
Oh my God.
And she runs to, and she obviously is talking to a baby. So, Jahiro keeps yelling, give me a job. And she's like, I'm not going to give you a job. And then, boom, another foot. And she gets kicked in the face, Yubaba.
She goes,
and she's like, whoa. Now she's got boards in her hair. And It's kind of funny.
It's very funny. And so it turns out it's her baby, Yubaba's baby. Yubaba's old.
Like, she looks old.
She looks old.
She's got gray hair.
I mean,
or
it,
white
it could
hair.
Be just smoker's wrinkles, but damn, she looks old.
Yes.
She's got to be like 70-something. But she's got a baby.
Yes.
Like a baby baby. But this baby is also like 200 pounds. This baby's a really big baby.
It's bigger than her. It's a giant baby.
It's a giant baby. And this is the first time, last time I saw it, I did not know that this was a boy.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a girl baby. And this time she's like, what's wrong with my little boy? And I was like, it's a boy? Because if you saw what this baby was wearing, his little tuchus is hanging out in the back. You see his butt, and he's wearing this like halter wrapped red little onesie that doesn't cover his butt.
It looks like a giant chef's apron, but red.
Yes.
And that's kind of it. And the thing is,
and
you
tight.
Don't even get to see him at this point. You just
yes,
see the
sorry.
Foot and
yes.
stuff.
Yes.
And she kind of is holding him off, like keeping him in the room. And Chihiro keeps yelling, give me a job, give me a job.
Yeah.
And finally she's like, all right, fine. And she dashes into the room.
That's usually what I do.
And
I
then
just, I annoy people until they're like, all right, fine. I totally identified.
And then magically, paper just floats up into the air and a pen floats to Chihiro and she signs the contract. And now Yubaba comes back out. She starts magically putting the whole room back together. And she said, what's your name? And she said, Chihiro. And she's like, that's a pretty name. But it sounds, I forget what she said. It sounds like a fancy name or something.
Yeah.
She said, from now on, your name is Sen. That's going to be your name. And I happened to be reading about it. And I guess both of these names, both Chihiro and Sen, are both, and they may not have literal translations in English, but they both have to do with the number 1,000.
Mm.
So it's like she's got the same name, but a new name.
Yep.
You know?
And she, and when she takes, so she takes the name. So
yes.
Chihiro, go ahead.
Well, when the contract, she pulls it back over to her magically through the air, and she looks at the contract and sees her name. And with magic, she pulls the characters off of the page and grabs them in her hand. And she goes, that's my name now.
Yep.
Or I own that name.
Yep. And it was so, for me, reminiscent of Ursula in Little Mermaid when the way that she takes Ariel's life and everything about her, she takes her voice. And it was so similar because Chihiro lost herself once, because that's, so we find out later on that Haku says, because she starts to not be able to remember her name, Chihiro, and she just keeps calling herself Sen. She forgot, and she sees a little piece of paper that her name is Chihiro, but without remembering her name, she'll forget who she is and where she comes from. So Yubaba took her name. So she took her life, ultimately, unless Chihiro fought back and found a way through it.
Yes.
Which, that was powerful.
Very powerful. And from here we go to, you know, she goes back to Lynn. She kind of has a little breakdown. She's sad. Of course, and this is the thing. I'm thinking about this and I'm watching this and I'm like, this 10-year-old kid was supposed to be moving. So she's already stressed out and her life sucks because she's leaving her life behind.
Yep.
Before she can even get to the new place and decide whether she hates it or not, her parents turn into pigs. And now she's in this magical world full of creepy spirits. And now she's has to work.
Yep.
No more school. You're going to work, kid.
And with the worst job ever. Like, you just have to do whatever you can get.
She doesn't even know where her job is.
Yeah.
She just goes, just give me a job. So she gets a job, goes back. Lynn kind of puts her to bed, and she wakes up the next day, and she's cleaning the bathhouse. But they give her, because she's a human, she's an outcast. She's not supposed to be there.
Right.
So she gets assigned by the foreman, and it's like, you go clean the big tub.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, this is – I think Lynn says, this is harassment.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
the tub is just – littered with giant leaves and grime. And
grime from, like, it hadn't been cleaned in months from people's disgusting soaks.
Yes.
Like these spirits that have gook all over them. It's just piled in this, and they have to clean this. That's her job.
Yes. And
oh, and I was going to say, Lynn tries to warn her, by the way. This is another thing, Jihiro's instinct, how immediately when she was with her parents, she never wanted to walk through the, you know, this, and what do I keep calling an entranceway?
The hallway.
The tunnel,
yeah.
Tunnel. And she trusts Haku. Like, Haku gets her over into this thing and says, you got to get a job. So it's like he's taking care of her. And then Lynn says, don't trust him.
Yes.
Don't trust him. He's Yubaba's henchman. But her instincts were to keep trusting Haku, even though she was scared. And he was doing right by her. And we see that more throughout the movie. But I love that. Her instincts were dead on the entire time.
Yes. And I love that Lynn, who's like the grunt, yes, is like, don't trust that guy. He kisses the boss's ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they go to work. They start cleaning the tub.
Yeah.
And before they can finish cleaning the tub, Lynn sends, now Sen, go get a bath token from the from the foreman. We need an herbal soak in order to help clean the tub.
Yeah.
One thing we forgot to mention is on the way into the bathhouse the first time, Chihiro passes a very distinct looking spirit, black with a white mask. And now by this point, she's already let that spirit at one moment. She opened the door to let that, it's raining out, do you want to come in? And
cause she's just kind. She was trying to be nice and thoughtful.
Yes. So she leaves the door open and the spirit says, you know, the spirit doesn't react, but it comes in after she leaves. She said, I'll leave the door open for you. And now the spirit just appears next to the foreman, who won't give her the token.
Yep.
And the spirit magically lifts the token and gives it to her, and she runs away. So she gets the bath, she fills the bath, and Lynn leaves to get her food. And while the bath is pouring, it starts overflowing, Yubaba starts. She's looking at Jules in her office, and she says, like, something's coming. And then she looks out, and everybody starts closing up shop. The whole street starts shutting down. Everything starts shutting down, and this, she goes, it's a stink spirit. And this giant sludge monster starts coming down the street.
Sludge monster, I like that.
It's just this gloopy, brown, green. It looks like sludge.
Yeah.
With a sad,
like a muddy, sludgy, yeah,
sad, melting face. Just, just.
And he's just oozing.
Just like, oozing down the street.
Oozing. Like, it's just forming puddles, and people are like, ah! Like,
and everyone is on the bridge to cut him off. No, we're closed. Don't come in. Don't come in. And he just comes in anyway.
Then they start passing out from the smell.
Yes. He
stinks.
Just falling over. He stinks. So the long story short, he gets in there. They make Sen take the money, lead him into the bath. He gets in there, but the bath is still not good enough. So she takes the extra tokens, because at one point, No Face shows up. That's the name of that spirit.
Yeah,
with the mask. He gives her
I'll
bunch of tokens,
that.
But she won't take them.
Yep.
So anyway, they're still left there. She takes another token, sends it up, and gets the big, you know, super clean bath to come down, clean the stink spirit. So Sen pours the herbal bath or herbal salts on the stink spirit, and it starts working.
Yeah.
And it starts getting cleaned, and the bath water starts getting cleaned. And Yubaba, in the meantime, has started reacting like, that's not a stink spirit. And
something's off.
Yes. And Sen reaches in and can feel something. And you can see it's like the handle of a bike.
Yeah.
And Yubaba flies down. Get the whole staff down there. She magically creates a rope. They tie this rope around and the whole staff starts heaving. And they pull. And it's like they're pulling like an ingrown hair out of it. First a bike, then a dryer, then just all this trash.
It's like it was buried under the ocean.
Yes.
Like, that's what it's like.
A mountain of trash fills the bathroom. The spirit gets cleansed, and Sen gets wrapped up in the water, and the spirit's face comes out and looks at her and says, well done, or something.
Yeah.
And I guess
well done.
Yes.
And it flies away.
And it turns into this giant, I guess it's like a river spirit. And the idea, one of the themes is like it's, you know, people pollute and they don't think about it. They just leave it to, you know, they throw things away and they don't think about how it affects the environment. And here it is, this spirit. It's supposed to be like a river, if I'm not mistaken, like a river spirit. And it's cleansed because of her action.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful.
Right. And then it, yeah, like it does. It's this giant exit. What? It flies out like a dragon and just flies out the front door.
Soars.
Yes.
And it soars.
And it soars away into the night sky. And of course, it leaves a bunch of gold there.
Yes. Which then gets intertwined with No Face and the gold.
Yes, and you see No Face starts becoming like a... He starts offering people gold because he can create it.
No Face is a whole interesting piece of this movie for me. This could be a standalone topic because it's so interesting to me. So if you're still following along, like, No Face is the one that Chihiro let into the bathhouse to be nice. And now he's in the bathhouse and he does start by trying to be nice. And No Face is the one that made the soap thing fly to her.
Yeah, the bath token.
The bath token. Thank you. So he was being nice. But then in the bathhouse, he tries to connect with people and he starts making gold, like, with his hand.
Just appear.
And they're like, you can make gold? And then they're like, this guy's rich. And everybody's obsessed. And they're like giving this guy everything he wants because he's got all this money. But he starts eating them. And
when no one's around, he'll eat one or two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the frog at first.
Yes. And he starts getting bigger.
And No Face, it's so bizarre because he came out of nowhere and he does this voice. He does this little, like, he wanted Chihiro to, like, take the gold or to take whatever the gifts he was trying to give him. He'd go, hey, hey. It's like, it was such a strange noise. And it was so, like, alarming. And it was just such a strange noise for this ghost, like this. I don't even know, but he was eating people and then he was getting eating more people and getting worse and worse. Then he was attacking people and to fast forward, but then Chihiro gives him, the river spirit, she's left with this little ball of something. And she, at some point she tries to take a little bite of it and she's like, blah, blah, blah. It was like disgusting. But then again, her instincts, well, this fast forwards later, but she uses that. I guess she takes it with her. And later on, when Haku is deathly sick, which we'll get to, she knows to feed him this thing that she got from the river spirit and pretty much saves his life doing so. And then she also she gives it to No Face, and No Face is like, what did you do to me, Sen? But then starts throwing up everything that he's consumed in this ill state that he was in. So he throws back up all the people that he ate. They're still alive. And
he's purging.
Yeah, he's purging, just like the same way the river spirit was purged of all this. And it's amazing because how would she know what this thing was from the river spirit that she's just holding? It looks like a ball of lint, you know? And it's just this nutritious, life-saving thing. And she just knew.
Right.
She just knew. I thought that was really beautiful.
Well, she says, too, it's a gift from the river spirit.
Yes.
And it also shows her selflessness because she wanted to use it to try to feed her pig parents to switch them back over.
Yep.
Which, that was one part we left out. But eventually, Haku takes her to see her parents.
Yes.
In this big pig farm on the property.
And there was another part where, so when he did take her, this was another one of those times where the same way she yelled at Yubaba for the job, I want a job, I won't take, no, I have to have a job. She's yelling at her parents. She goes, don't get any fatter. Don't eat anything more. Don't get any fatter because they're going to eat you. And she just like all one note in this frantic state, but she just is telling them, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you get fat. Don't you eat anymore. And she's just so serious. And like, I love it.
And she just, like, sprints out.
Yeah. Yeah. Then she's done. She said her piece. She's gone. I love that.
And, okay, so No Face basically starts eating people, and he basically is throwing gold around, so everyone is catering to him. And then eventually he wants Sen, and they send Sen in, and he's trying to give her stuff, and she's like, I don't want it, you know, here. And then when she gives him the medicine, he purges, and... In the meanwhile, I don't know if it's before or after this, but like at one point it's established that Haku is a dragon.
Yes.
He can basically – they don't show him transform necessarily, but she knows he's a dragon. He's this white dragon that can fly. And there's a point in the story where she – I don't know if it's before or after this, but he's being attacked. She sees him and she's like, oh my gosh. And he's being attacked and she kind of opens the door of where she's standing on the side of the building, and it turns out he's being attacked by these paper dolls, but they're magical and they're like hurting him.
Yeah.
And
I think I just figured that out. What's Yubaba's sister's name? Twin sister's name?
Zaniba.
So Yubaba's twin sister, Zaniba.
Who you don't know exists.
So yeah, we have no idea she exists. But I only just figured this out, and maybe you knew it. So we see Haku in dragon form being attacked by what looks like white birds.
Yes.
But then once Chihiro lets him in, and all these white birds come following him, but then she closes it, and we see that they're all paper.
Yes.
And I just realized that was Zaniba.
Yes.
I just realized that right now, that she took the form of paper.
Yes.
Because she was mad. So she was mad at Haku for stealing her gold-plated...
It was like a gold totem or seal, sacred seal.
Yes, seal. But Yubaba was controlling him because she put a spell in Haku.
Yes. So basically, Zaniba was chasing Haku to get back the scroll that Yubaba had sent him to steal from her twin sister. But you don't know that. So one of these paper dolls basically attaches itself to Chihiro, who goes to try to save Haku. And when she gets there, Yubaba leaves. Zen is hiding in the baby's room. She's covered in blood because of she touched Haku. The baby, and you get to see the baby finally, who's under this giant pile of pillows. And the baby basically says, "I'll hurt you if you don't play. I'll cry and my mom will come kill you." So she shows him the blood because he says, "Oh, you're a germ. You've come to hurt me." And she said, "I'm not a germ. I'm a human." And then he won't let her go. So she shows him the blood and he starts screaming.
Yeah.
And she runs into the room. And the weird Yubaba crow and the three heads start bouncing around.
Yeah.
And then the paper doll that attached itself to her.
Yeah.
Like floats off and lands. And it looks just like Yubaba. And she starts changing. You know, the baby follows him into the room. "I'm not afraid of you." And she changes the baby into a mouse. She changes the bird into a little tiny bird that sounds like a fly.
Yes.
And then she changes the three heads into the baby.
Wait, so what did she change? So what was that? There was the little bird and then was he a little mouse? What?
The little chubby mouse.
Yeah, it was she like, changed is he a mouse? Baby is he, into is this he mouse? A hamster or guinea pig? He's just the cutest little chubby little mousy thing.
Yes. And then the three heads are basically changed into a baby decoy.
Yes, baby decoy.
And she starts explaining who she is and why she's chasing Haku and why he's been hurt to Sen. But then Haku wakes up and he snaps her with his tail and cuts the paper in half and she disappears.
Right.
And basically then they fall down this pit that's in Yubaba's office all the way to the boiler room.
It's probably where she gets rid of her people when she doesn't need them anymore.
Yes. And she says, "I guess so," like a supervillain. Yes. Like the floor opens up and they land in the boiler room, and now she uses the fuzzy gift from the river spirit to bring Haku back, but he's still not well.
Yeah.
So she tells Kamaji, "We've got to save him. I'll go apologize to Zaniba." And so basically he gives her a train ticket to take the train, and even though it's a one-way, he tells her it's a one-way ticket.
Yeah.
You can't come back.
She's like, "That's okay. I'll walk."
And we've got the order of events out of here, I think, a little bit, because this is where I think Lin comes down and warns her. The No Face is out of control.
Yeah.
And that's when she goes and purges him. And he follows them out. And Lin gives her a ride through the river, through the water, to the train station. And No Face joins her and the chubby mouse and the little tiny...
birdie fly.
Yeah, fly bird. To go to see Zaniba. And when she gets there, she basically explains that... Oh, we also left out the part where Haku, when he changes from a dragon back to a person, he throws up. And when he does, he throws up the totem. And he throws up that little slug.
Yes. Yes.
Kamaji says, "Get it. Get the slug." And she does. And when she gets to Zaniba, Zaniba explains to her, "Oh, Yubaba put that in there to control
Haku.
Yes.
Yes, I know. There's so much to the story.
Yes.
There really is.
And so they go to see Zaniba. Zaniba basically sits them down and takes care of them.
Yeah.
And there's a very cute segment where, like, No Face eats a big bite of, like, a pie or something, like a cheesecake.
Yeah.
But the fly bird and
the chubby mouse.
The chubby mouse run up, and the mouse like buzzsaws this chocolate cookie with a cherry in the middle. He's like, and then he grabs two more under his arm and runs off.
Like as if he's carrying tires under each arm. Like he just carries them. So cute.
One of the cutest parts of the movie. It's cute when they get on the train because Kamaji has those train tickets for her to take the train. I've been saving these for 40 years. Take these. You can go to Swamp Bottom and see Zuniga.
Yeah.
And even when they're on the train, the mouse and the little flybird are jumping up and down, so excited
they're
to be on the
so
train.
So excited. And they are so cute.
So cute.
You couldn't believe it until you saw it. You have to see these. They are the cutest. Like, I just want them in my day every day.
Yes. So cute. And so she gives the totem back to Zuniga, apologizes for Haku. And Zuniga, what is it? She's there and she's trying to remember.
So, Jahira's trying to remember how she knows Haku.
I forget what it is she's trying to remember, but she needs to remember something before she can help Haku. And while they're doing this, while she's remembering, trying to remember,
she remembered something that she, like, when Haku first met her, he says, "I've known you since you were a very little girl." And she, something she knew that she knew him, but she couldn't remember for the life of her. She couldn't remember how or what. And so she had to remember that in order to be able to help him, but she couldn't remember. And she was so sad.
Yes.
And Zuniga was just like, "Give it a little more time."
Yes.
"Give it a little more time."
And while she's thinking, everybody else there is working on, like, crocheting or knitting or something.
Yep.
And so she...
Which No Face is very good at. And Zuniga's like, "How did you get so good at this, No Face?" He's like a master sewer. Like,
yes. And so when they're about to go on their way, Zuniga offers her a new hair tie. It's a sparkly and purple, kind of shines.
It has spirit.
It has spirit.
It does, because it like glimmers in a way that there's like life to it.
And she says, "It'll protect you. It's made from the threads your friends wove together."
Yeah.
And I love that. So she, and it's, we both talked about this moment.
Yeah.
It's a very human moment. She has her hair tied up. She pulls her hair out and she puts the spare in her mouth while she ties her hair up.
Holds it with her
one.
Teeth. Like, you know, girls, when you put up your hair and you just, the other one, you just put in your teeth, and she just takes the new one that's sparkly and she puts it in her hair.
Yes. And so in the meanwhile, while they're there, Haku has gone to Yubaba to say, "Oh, things don't seem out of place to you." And he,
that's right.
It's revealed. Yubaba kind of turns on, quote unquote, turns on her own magic.
Yep.
And it's revealed that the three heads are her baby that's sitting there.
Yep.
She's like, "Where's my baby?" You know, and then all the gold that No Face made turns to dirt.
Yep.
And basically everything, they got played on everything. So Haku says, I forget the deal he makes her, but basically, "I'll make you a deal. You let Zen and her parent, you turn her parents back human and you let them all go."
Yep.
And she says, "Fine, but I get to give her one more test."
Yep.
So then Haku, who now is okay, flies back to Zaniba's place and they all kind of reunite. No Face stays with Zuniga.
Yeah, she's just like, "No Face, why don't you stay here for a while?" Because the whole, so let's just touch on this for 1 second. So No Face, the reason he was eating everybody and he was consuming so much at this bathhouse and he was just getting angrier and angrier, he was so lonely. And that's what he said. And the further away he got from the bathhouse and he was purging all this stuff that he consumed, he just said, "I'm so lonely." And which is just such a, it's so significant for as humans or as spirits, how much we like need things to fill us because we can feel so empty inside. And
yes.
Here is No Face.
And he's just giving people stuff so they'll be there.
So they'll be there because he's so lonely.
Yes.
And I love that at the end. So Zuniga's like, so No Face still doesn't have any place to go, but he's a great sewer. And Zuniga's just lovely. And she tells everybody, "Call me Granny," right?
Yes, yes.
And so everybody starts calling her Granny. And she says, "No Face, you stay here with me for a while." So now he has a home.
He has a home.
And he has someone.
And then they all climb on top of Haku, who's a dragon now,
yep.
reunited, and they fly through the air. And that this is the big payoff of the movie, where Sen realizes she's had a few moments in the movie where she's kind of been engulfed in water and been staring like straight into the camera mm-hmm. almost.
Yes.
Right? And she realizes she's having this little flashback, and she realizes when I was a little baby, my shoe fell into the water and I went to get it. And then I fell in and I thought I would drown, but the waters carried me to shore. And the name of that, the name of the river was the Kohaku River. I think that's your name, because Haku has said the whole time, I haven't been able to remember my name. I'll never get out of here.
Yep.
She's, and as he's flying as the dragon, she says, I think that's your name. You're the Kohaku River. And all of a sudden, all of the scales on the dragon stand up and start like exploding off.
A shatter off of him. Yep.
Yes.
Because, and I don't know how much we said that from the beginning, he warned her. Hold on. She had a little card from the beginning that had her name on it. That was from when somebody gave her before she was moving. So she had it in the car when we started this journey. And he said, don't lose this card. Hide it. Keep it with you, because you can't forget your name. Because if you do, you'll never find your way home. He said, I can't remember my name. And so I can never leave.
Right.
And so she finally tells, she remembers for him his name.
And the thing is, this is one of the other kind of themes in the movie, is that she said that river is all apartments now. Mm. So that's also partly why he couldn't remember his name, was the idea that humans destroyed that river.
Yep.
They filled it in and put apartments yep. there. So they,
he's stuck.
He was stuck. So they start, you know, they're doing this basically like synchronized skydive moment where they're both yeah. falling and holding hands, and you know.
So is the chubby mouse and the little fly birdie.
Yes. And they have this wonderful moment, and then they land on their feet and they go back to the bathhouse, where everybody is waiting outside the bathhouse, including Yubaba and including all of the people that work there.
All of the bathhouse people, all the spirits.
And the baby rolls up to Yubaba, and he said, you know, she said, did they torture you? Did they harass you or whatever? And he says, she was really nice to me, Mom, and we had a great time. And if you're mean to her,
I won't like you anymore.
Yes. Yes.
That's what he said. That's what the baby says to his own mom.
Yes.
And she's like, ah, because she just wants to give Jahira one more test.
Yes.
She still wants to do it.
Well, she said, a deal's a deal, sweetheart. And it is. And that's what Jahira says. You're right. A deal's a deal.
Yeah. And but so tough.
Yes.
She said, like, a few seconds where the whole crowd, like, the everybody else is going, boo, yeah. no. And then Jahira just takes a second. She goes, you're right. Like, you just see her come out of the woodwork. She's like, a deal's a deal. You know, she's a tough girl. And she goes up there and she takes the challenge.
Yes. And the challenge is, she's got 8 or 10 pigs there.
Yeah.
And she says,
whole pig pen.
A whole pig pen there. And she says, if you can pick your parents out of these pigs, you all get to leave. I've got your contract right here. If you can pick them, you all get to leave. You only get one chance. And she said, which of these pigs are your parents? And she said, none of these pigs are my parents.
Yeah.
And she said, that's your answer? She said, yes. And boom, the contract explodes, disappears into the air, and the people starts cheering.
Yep.
She's free. And she and Haku, she said, thank you, everybody. Bye. And she runs out, and everyone's cheering, and Haku leads her across the bridge back down. And all the water that had come during the rain is now gone, and it's a big green field again. And she has to say goodbye to him. And he says to her as she's leaving, or as he's saying goodbye to her, he says, don't look back. Don't look back until you're
through the tunnel.
Through the tunnel.
Yep.
And the animation in this is one shot in the movie that I love. They're holding hands at this moment, and she runs away and pulls her hand out of his hand.
Yes.
And they animate that. Yes. And I love that moment.
Yep.
It's the last touch. It's
yes.
a goodbye.
Yes. Oh, it's hard to think about. It was so sad.
Yes.
And she said, but will you be okay? But you can't get home. You can't get home. And he said, I'll be okay now. Like, now I know we've broken the spell like Yubaba had over him. And he's like, I'm not going to be hurt. What did he say? Like, I'm not going to be.
I'll go tell her.
Yeah, like, he's not, I'm not going to be her whatever anymore. Like, he's not going to work for her. And so he's, and then she's like, well, will I ever see you again? And he promises her that they will.
Yes.
Which is sorry to, I have to touch on this. When Hoku's almost dies at one point in this film, and Chihiro gives him that river, the river gift from the river spirit, and Zeniba says, "How are you still alive? The only thing that can break that spell is love."
Yes.
And so a few times in the movie, they talk about this is love.
Yes.
Meaning Chihiro and Haku. And it's like, what I loved is that I'm thinking, oh, before I knew that he was a river spirit, I'm like, oh, is this like a little bit of a love story? And I loved that what we find out at the end is that it was a different kind of love. They shared, they took care of one another. He saved her. She saved him. There's this beautiful kind of love between them. And he was nature. Really, he was a river spirit.
Right.
And that it's a love that's so deep that broke a spell. And it wasn't this romantic love story. It was almost more beautiful.
Right.
Because it was our connection to the earth, to the spirit, to, it was just such a beautiful love that broke the spell. And that was between them.
Yes.
And I loved that.
Yes. It was very deep. It was a lot deeper than basically every other story, which usually is like someone finally getting a smooch at the end.
Right. And that's because he's, all right, so Haku's a cute little boy. He's a cute little teenage boy. He's got these striking green eyes, and
he's got a bowl haircut.
He's got a bowl haircut. I mean, who could resist the bowl haircut? He's
wearing a karate gi. No, it's not a karate gi, but it's
kind of.
It's like a.
It's a uniform of fighting sorts.
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, it's interesting. Why are they? But it was interesting from the beginning because he's like, I've known you since you were a little girl.
He did say that.
He did. But I forgot it for a while, you know?
Yes.
But then it's beautiful because he saved her life when she was a very little girl, when he was a river on Earth.
He did.
It's just really beautiful.
It is.
The end.
Yeah. Well, then Chihiro runs across the field. She goes through the tunnel. And when she runs over the top of a hill, when she comes down the other side, there were her parents.
Yes.
And they're like, come on, let's go. Hurry up.
Yeah.
And she's kind of shocked that they're even there. Like, oh, my gosh. And she runs down to them, and they walk back through the tunnel. And this part, I don't know if you noticed this, but the animation of the dad, like the dad's walking in front of them with his big square butt.
Yeah, he's such a big square butt.
The dad with
they
the
left
big
him like part pig.
Yes, yes. He's got the big square butt walking in front of them, and then it cuts to Chihiro holding onto her mom's arm.
Yes.
That animation is repeated exactly, if I'm not mistaken, exactly the same as it was the first time.
As with the line, stop, she says, stop hanging on me or stop clawing me.
You'll make me trip.
You'll make me trip. She said walking in in the beginning of the movie and walking out.
Yes, and when they get out, they see that their car is like covered in branches and leaves and it's full of dust. And they're like, what is this? Some kind of joke?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be. And Chihiro stops and she has not looked back. Now she turns and looks back. And they start calling to her. Chihiro, come on, let's go. And they have a kind of a voiceover at this part where they're talking about how
a new school
and a new house and a new place is scary.
I'm sure you're going to be scared. I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah. And the dad says, you're not scared, are you? And she says, I think I can handle it.
Yeah. Whereas in the beginning of the movie, she's like, this stinks. I'm not going to have any friends. And I'm not going to, it's going to be, I don't want to go here. And I don't want to do that. And she's like, she's scared.
She was so depressed and so scared.
So sad.
Didn't want to move.
Didn't want any part of any of this. And now she'd been through this whole adventure. And she's like, I can handle it.
Yes.
And it's just so beautiful. And with the car, so we see the car, which they had parked right before this whole journey began, and now it's covered in leaves and dust
branches
and all this stuff. Yeah, branches. So I wanted to ask, so did time pass in on Earth?
I think it's supposed to be up to you to decide.
I know. But I was like, but are the movers still at the house? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, but if time passed, then the movers might have gotten there already and moved everything in and they never showed up.
Yes.
But yeah, I wanted to ask you that. Like, so what did that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the idea is supposed to be that it's hinting that it was all real.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
yeah.
How could it have been, right?
Yeah.
It's maybe the lesson is real.
Yeah. Lessons take time.
They do. And One thing we forgot to mention was the big baby. I love the idea of the big baby because the big baby is, I think, probably a metaphor for any person in that scenario who stays locked up. You know, the baby says, if you go outside, you get sick. And Chihiro says, stand in here is what's going to get you sick.
Well, that was one thing I wanted to say too, yeah.
And the idea of, like, being spoiled, being coddled, not being able to go, you know, all of this whole movie, the only way the characters grow is to go do something. And the baby, who's never actually says in the movie, I've never been out of this room.
Yep.
Leaves that room. And then even once the baby turns into the mouse, it still goes on the adventure with Chihiro to Swamp Bottom.
Wanted to.
Right.
And then even when it could be turned back into a baby, still didn't want to be turned back into a baby. Like, they were like, the spell was, Zeniba was like, the spell's been broken a while ago. They could be back into their regular form. And you look over at them, they're shaking their heads.
Yeah.
Like, they don't like want it. They like being in that form. And I love, yes, I love that with the big baby. You know, the baby's sitting there squeezing Chihiro's arm, saying, no, you're going to play with me. You're not going to leave. And
or I'll break your arm.
Yeah, I'll break your arm. And she's hurting her. And Jahira's like, you're hurting me. And then she says, the baby said, yeah, we can't go outside. Like you said, you know, we'll get sick. And Jahira's response, that's what I wanted to say, the same way that she said, like, don't eat anymore. You're going to get fat. They're going to eat you. Like, to her parents, she said to the baby, you're not going to get sick from being from going outside. You're going to get sick from staying in here. Like, she's so intense. Like, she knows better.
Yes.
She knows better. And she's got to tell this baby. She's just so intense on what she knows.
Yes.
And, like, and she, her instinct, you're going to get sick from staying in here. Look, she's on this huge adventure. It's changing her life. This baby has never left this room.
Yes.
And, yeah. And, like, things are scary. I do. I love that because, and this baby is also a product of its mother's issues. So,
right.
Yubaba keeps this baby locked up in safety. And, like, that's her issues. And she's putting them on this new human who's now going to grow up with the same exact issues unless this baby, this, which could be any of us because we're all big babies, chooses to do things differently.
Yes.
Not just what we've learned, but right. to test the things that we've come to know as fact.
Right. Step outside your door.
Yeah. Risk. Be uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because it's going to be okay.
And that's another, I think they say that line two or three or four times in the movie. It's going to be okay.
You know, a part where that happens is Haku at one point gives, and this is another part that I thought was beautiful. He gives...
he's just shown Chihiro her parents in the pig farm, right?
I think so, yes. And then he gives her, he goes, you must be starving. You have to eat something. And now she's very scared to eat something because look what happened to her parents. And he's like, don't worry, I put a spell on it. Eat it. It'll give you your strength back. And she starts eating it. And immediately it's like her eyes widen. And then she eats it. She gulps down this piece of food and tears just start falling from her eyes. And, like, there was just this such a real moment for me of, like, that at your core, like, hunger and sadness and feeling just and happy and scared. It was just such a core moment.
Yeah.
And she was just feeling it all. So she was starving and eating and crying and all at the same time.
Yes.
She was getting her strength back and yet breaking down.
Yes.
Because in order to be strong, you have to really feel and work through things.
Right.
And it was just, to me, it was such a metaphor. She was getting her strength back by hitting a bottom.
Yes.
And working her way back up.
Right.
And I just thought it was a really beautiful moment.
And also, too, basically every time that, one thing I forgot to mention that I wanted to say, every time they go to the pig pen to or from, they run through this field of flowers that's taller than
them. I just got the chills when you said that. Yep.
And every time they do it, the animation is just insanely...
It's
breathtaking. It's gorgeous. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of animation I've ever seen.
Ever. I'm so happy you brought that up because I literally am choked up because when there was a couple times with those flowers that I was just like, oh my God.
And I love it too because it's in the beginning, she's got this little bouquet and it's
wilting.
And she's upset because she accidentally crushed it. I never got flowers before. I never got a bouquet before. Now it's crushed.
Yeah.
And her mom says something like, what about that rose you got that one time? She's like, a rose isn't a bouquet.
Yeah, her dad had got her a rose for like something from school.
Yeah.
And it's not a bouquet.
One flower's not a bouquet.
I know. And look what she comes to appreciate at the end, you know, and that's we, you and I had spoke about that the other day, about how kids can not appreciate things.
Yes.
Sometimes. And she'd been through so much, but through all of it, through this whole movie, you know, when No Face came and tried to give her gold and tried to give her extra bath tokens and all this stuff, she didn't need it. And she said, no, thank you. Thank you. But it's okay. I don't, that's too many. I don't need that. She wasn't greedy.
And she was steadfast in her disposition.
Yes.
She never, even though, most everybody would be greedy and take it.
More is better, right? More is always better.
No, I don't need it. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. No, but thank you. Like, she was just polite, but she didn't need it.
Right.
And it was beautiful.
It was.
Especially from a child.
Yes, that's the thing. From a child, especially.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about the movie?
It's funny because I wrote down things that really affected me from the movie, and I think we naturally covered them.
Okay.
Some of those scenes that really moved me, we naturally just came to those. That was it. Yeah, we covered everything.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for joining us again in the spectacular show Warp Zone. One more time, thank you so much, Samantha Jane Tilton.
Thank you so much. And thank you, guys. This is awesome.
And we'll be back again tomorrow, one more time, for the spectacular show Warp Zone. We'll be covering another Miyazaki film.
Give it up.
Yes. We will see you guys tomorrow.